Good afternoon, everyone, and greetings to you on the webcast. The Generations of Adam, Part 2, and I didn't give Part 1. Last month, Tom Randall gave a message called The Generations of Adam. One of the things he discussed was the overlap of the lives of the descendants from Adam to Jacob. And he provided a full-color chart showing their lifespans. Well, I plan to expand on the generations of Adam by discussing the meanings of their names. Well, why focus on the names? Names in the Bible are very significant. Larry Walker gave a sermon recently on names, which covers this better than I have time for, so you can find it on the UCG Sermons page entitled, What's in a Name? I'll give one quote. He said, the importance of a name by the biblical writer cannot be overstated. The Bible often records why a person is given the name that they have, and it surprised me some years ago to learn that the names of Adam's descendants reveal a message, in particular, a message of the gospel. So let's start with the first family. Adam. Adam means mankind or red or one from the soil. In Genesis 1:26, and we'll be in Genesis a number of times, obviously, and God said, let us make man in our image. Well, the word man is the Hebrew word Adam. Adam is related to the word dam, which means blood, hence the meaning red. It's like the English word name clay. Ha-Adam usually means the man or simply mankind, and Adama is the dirt or the ground. Adam was taken from the Adama. Eve means life. In Genesis 3:20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That doesn't really work in English, but in Hebrew, her name is Chava, because she was the mother of all Chaya. You've heard the toast, L'chaim. L'chaya means life. So that's an example where the Bible tells why she's named Chava. Cain means gotten, possession, acquisition, or smith, as in Tubal Cain. In Genesis 4:1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord, hence the meaning possession or acquisition. So again, the Bible tells us why he was named Cain. Abel means breath or futile or worthless, vanity, transitory. So in Genesis 4:2, continuing on from Cain, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And in the Hebrew it kind of says, she continued to bear as if they were twins. And we're actually familiar with the usage of the name Abel. In Ecclesiastes 1:2, it says, vanity of vanities, or Abel of Abels. In Hebrew, it's Havel Havelin. Well, language changes. Who would name their baby vanity or breath? I mean, maybe it didn't mean that 6,000 years ago. Seth, to complete the first family, means appointed or compensation or substitute. Genesis 4:25 says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. And she says, for God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. And we don't know if Adam and Eve had children before Cain, after Cain, before Seth. That stuff is not recorded. So before we look at the descendants of Seth, I'll take a minute to show you how to look up this information on your own. Before the internet, you would need several books. Now it's much easier. I personally like BibleHub.com, where you can get multiple translations of a single verse. You can search the Bible or commentaries, and if you scroll far enough, it shows the Hebrew word by word with links, hyperlinks to the Strong's Concordance. I also like QBible.com. It gives the Hebrew, the transliteration, that is how to pronounce it, and the King James, again with hyperlinks to Strong's. An interesting site is Abarim Publications, which has detailed information on every name, every person name, every place name in the Bible. And there's a lot of research there, and it often gives multiple explanations for each name. Or you could just do an internet search for meaning of the names of Adam's descendants. And you'll come to ChristianTruthCenter.com or BibleCodes.org, and there'll be a ton of information there. Okay, so let's go on to the rest of the names. Genesis 5 gives the descendants from Adam to Noah, which is what I'm going to focus on. Tom focused on the ages of all of these men. I'll focus on the names. And to condense Genesis 5, it's Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, and I practiced that, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. These 10 names represent nearly 1,600 years of history. We've already looked at Adam and Seth, so let's start with Enosh, which means, Enosh means subject to death, mankind or mortal. Kenan means sorrowful or possession. And basically it's the same name as Cain, and it's often spelled with a C, sometimes spelled with a K. Mahalalel means either the presence of God or praise of God. And it's a combination of halal, which means praise, and el, which means God. And we have halal in English as in hallelujah, which means praise God. Jared, which means one comes down or simply descent. Enoch means dedicated. Methuselah is a somewhat complicated one that people come up with different things. Some people say it means dying he shall send, or when he is dead it shall be sent, or when he dies send it. I'll skip the derivation of that one. But the point is that the year Methuselah died, God sent the flood. And you can check that out in Tom's handout. When he dies, send it. The it could refer to the flood, or maybe the Holy Spirit. A little foreshadowing there. Lamech means to the poor and lowly. And finally, Noah means rest or comfort. And in Genesis 5:28, it says, when Lamech was 182 years old, he had a son and he named him Noah, saying, may this one comfort us in the labor and toil of our hands caused by the ground that the Lord has cursed. And they all died in the flood, so is that comfort? I don't know. In Hebrew, Noah's name is just two letters, and spelled backwards is chen, which means grace, as we read in Genesis 6, verse 8, that says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah means rest, and significantly, the competing lineage of Cain ends up in the land of Nod, which means restless wandering. So I see consensus on the meaning of most of the names, with a couple where the experts disagree, but they always do. A message does seem to emerge by stringing the names together, and we'll add some connector words to make a little better sense of it. ChristianTruthCenter.com puts the names together like this. Man, appointed subject to death, sorrowful. From the presence of God, one comes down dedicated, and dying he shall send to the poor and lowly rest and comfort. 10 names. BibleCodes.org puts the names together this way. The God-man is appointed. A mortal man of sorrow is born. The blessed God shall come down and teach that his death shall bring the grieving comfort and rest. And here's my attempt. God appointed a man of sorrow. Praise God that a dedicated one shall come down. When he dies, he will send comfort and rest to the grieving. Now, I find it interesting to play around with these names and make a story, make a decent sentence or phrase out of it. Is it true? I don't believe there are any accidents or coincidences in the Bible. Every word and probably every letter is exactly the way God intends it. But languages do change over time. Consider the difference in English between the King James Version of the Bible and now. And that's 400 years. The names of Adam's descendants go back 6,000 years. And that was before the Tower of Babel. And many scholars believe that Hebrew was the pre-Babel language. And the reason they believe that is that these very genealogies and place names only make sense in Hebrew. For example, Eve is the mother of all living doesn't really make sense in English. Some words are used only once in the Bible, and scholars can't be sure of the meaning of some of them. So we may not know the intended meaning of some of the names, but we do know many because the scripture tells us. And the gospel message does come through here. The Bible is more organized than we think sometimes. But wait, there's more. Bible Names Code, BibleCodes.org, claims that all of the names from Adam to Jesus tell a story. According to the genealogies given in Matthew and Luke, and that's over 70 names. But due to time constraints, I'll just let you look that up for yourself. So I sometimes listen to a podcast where they frequently say, we believe the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus. Jesus said much the same thing on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was written in all of the scriptures about himself. And in John 5:39, he says, you examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. and it is those very scriptures that testify about me. That's from the New American Standard. The words very scriptures doesn't occur in the original. But I think it brings out the sense of it more. So the point is that even the names of Adam and his descendants point to Jesus. The Bible is the Word of God, and everything in it really does lead to Jesus.